You're listening to the Sacred Commons Podcast, an Ancient Future Church of Youngstown, Ohio.
Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 8 through 17. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Lord, I ask right now that you would be with us in this place. Lord, let these words not be mine but yours. Lord, open each heart to hear what you are saying to them. Lord, let us have open ears and open hearts to your word today. Amen. Well, today I am actually going to be, as I said before, preaching from Acts, but we'll tie in the gospel as well. So I want to go back to the portion of Acts 2 that we read earlier, and I'll just go ahead and put it on the screen for myself. I'll be right back. It's okay. We're making adjustments, but it's okay. We make it work. Hopefully they can also see the screen. Can they? No. Okay. All right. That's all right. Sorry, folks at home, you can just see me. It's okay. I'll say what's on the screen so you'll know what it says.
There, they can see it now.
Oh, okay. This is from Acts 2, and it said, "When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability." So today we're talking about Pentecost, and the title for today is The Divine Spark. The Divine Spark. And this idea of the divine spark comes from Barbara Holmes, who we'll hear a quote from later in today's sermon. But we're talking about the divine spark on the day of Pentecost. So on the day of Pentecost, there was this wind and fire and the Holy Spirit and speaking in foreign languages. Now, as Pentecostals, we're used to glossolalia or from 1 Corinthians when we think of speaking in tongues. But this is a different way of speaking in foreign languages. What was happening here was that Jews who had been dispersed all over, they were there in Jerusalem, and they actually had different native dialects. And what ended up happening were the disciples were able to speak in those native languages. So rather than speaking in an unknown spiritual language, or the Holy Spirit could have had like one new language that all the Christians were then going to speak. But that didn't happen. They all spoke in these natal languages from all over. So there was this fire and this wind. And when we hear fire and wind in the Bible, it's usually a place where heaven and earth meet. So we have this instance of heaven and earth coming together on the day of Pentecost. Now, we know it as the day of Pentecost, and we have this meaning of the Holy Spirit coming down and these other languages. But for the Jews in that day, this was a feast that they practiced, and it came after the resurrection for them and for us. But in those days, they had their own feast. So they were already together celebrating this feast. And this is when the Holy Spirit came. So for us, we have now what we call Pentecost Sunday. And I did a little bit of research. Apparently in England and in America too, there's the term Whit Sunday. I didn't really get too deep into it. But it's apparently like the start of summer festival. I like that. I think we should do that. Up until like the late 70s, there was even a bank holiday the next day. So they must have been having some crazy partying. They even had like a special beer that was like, that was like for that Sunday. So I don't know. I just was doing some research. So it's a thing. From a Pentecostal background, we didn't so much do the partying part of things, but we definitely observed the Holy Spirit. And so this was kind of like a special party day and celebration in the church because of what the Holy Spirit meant to us. And with the different parts of the Trinity, God the Father and the God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, in some of our like apps that we have for our spiritual soul, it's called Soul Time. Like, they'll ask you questions about how you relate to the different parts of the Trinity. And I think as Pentecostals, we always have that like drawing towards the idea of the Holy Spirit part of who God is. So that's something that we're pretty familiar with. But regardless of your natal religious background, we all are familiar with this story. It's probably one of the most familiar stories. So I'm hoping that today we can hear, or that the Spirit can open up something in our spirits to hear something new and fresh, or just to be reminded of the power of the Holy Spirit that was there on that day and that is here for us today. So for us, this Pentecost Sunday kicks off a whole long season, and we call it Ordinary Time. And here at the Sacred Commons, we follow what's called the liturgical year. So we're coming into this season after Pentecost, or Ordinary Time. Here we celebrate our role as the church in the ongoing life of Christ in the world. We're guided by the companionship and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So here, in Ordinary Time, it's the life of Christ lived through us. So we as the church, this is the birthday of the church, as you saw by the decorations as you walked in. Pentecost is where the church was birthed and the birthday. So here we give our attention to how we live as the body of Christ, as the church of Christ in the world. So we've got quite a few months. If you see the black line there on the screen, I think even those online watching from the live stream can also see, so thank you for doing that. But you can see it's almost half the year we spend in the season that is coming up after today. So we've got Pentecost and then this season of how do we live as the church? How do we live in Christ? How are we guided by the companionship and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives? So this isn't in my notes, but one thing that we'll mention later is our Wednesday night, a study that we're doing on Zoom right now and talking about the different disciplines that we participate in as Christians and as the church. So these are ways that we can, in ordinary time, live more fully into being the church and being led by the Spirit. The coming of the Lord in Jesus Christ, whose Spirit blows, whose love creates community in us. So I mentioned earlier that they didn't speak in a specific spiritual language, but that they spoke in the language of the people who were there. It was their original language, or I want to say too, and this is, I apologize if I'm a little bit scattered here, but I want to make sure that we're all clear in that the people who were there, for the most part, did all speak one language because of it being part of the Roman Empire. There was already a common language. So there, I think there's something really, really significant about the fact that that God met them in their native language. That there was something about preserving the uniqueness of where each person was coming from. And that is what drew them in. There was fire and there was wind and there was all of this amazing, miraculous stuff that could have drawn the people in. But what drew the people in was that they were being met with their own language. Richard Sheffield, I have a quote. He said, "The love of God is broader than the measure of our mind. The love of God is broader than the measure of our mind." And I have up there Acts 2, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. I don't know what that quote means to you, but to me, it says that even if our mind doesn't comprehend or even know how to speak the language, somehow the Spirit was able to bring that love of God further than they ever could have on their own understanding. And this also means that my point number one today is that of Pentecost is that the Spirit is for all of us. It's for all of us. Joyce Holiday says that we are all included in the gracious baptism, as Peter reminds us. Sons, daughters, young and old, bound and free, all are prophets and bearers of a vision yet unseen. We are all prophets and bearers of a vision yet unseen. In Acts 2, we read that this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my servants, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." God wants to pour out his Spirit on everyone equally. God gives us diversity to enhance who we are as the church and who we are as the body of Christ in the world. It is meant to stretch us. It is meant to challenge us. We all long to hear our native language. We all long to be included and to be a part of a body that also speaks our language. We understand that we come from different places, but we also need to make room for those who speak other languages and make an effort through the Spirit to connect in that way. The image of God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, next week, I don't know if you all know this, is Trinity Sunday, so we'll talk more about this next week. But the image of God in and of itself is community. There's different persons, and they're united in love. This assumes difference and not uniformity.
That's good.
We are created to be in community. So number one, the Spirit is for all of us. And number two, the Spirit is in all of us. In our Gospel of John today, in chapter 14, verse 6, we see Jesus give the Advocate and the Holy Spirit. Father Preston, in his lectionary conversation this week, he always gives so much wonderful, wonderful information, and it always speaks to me. But I wanted to just share one thing with you all. He said, "The Holy Spirit calls us to live in anticipation of that new reality and live into it now. We are the people who are persistent in the belief and the proclamation that we are in Christ and therefore part of that new creation. The Spirit is in us and it's working through us." So number three, Pentecost, the Spirit works through us all. I like this visual. And I wanted to show it as maybe like circles on the water. I don't know if you've ever like thrown a stone into water and you see the waves come out. But the image that I have on this next slide, it's actually a stained glass window of the dove representing the spirit, and then the lines and the circles coming out to represent the rippling out of Christian mission. And I like this quote from Martin Smith where he says, "The rippling out of Christian mission is ever widening circles." And I don't know if you all are familiar with the Bible Project, but they have like videos that explain Bible stories. And I was watching one this week on this story of Acts. And the animation, which you can look it up when you go home later, but it was really interesting in the animation because it showed the disciples in the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, but then how that was the center, but it spread outward. And it reminded me of these circles just going out and out and out, and this ever-widening circle. And the way that that happened was by the Holy Spirit meeting all of these people that had come from all these places where they were at. So he was meeting where they were. So that's what we are as the church. We should be coming together so that we can be outward. Not inward, but outward. So think of that. Think of rippling out. The Spirit is our advocate. The Spirit is an advocate for our difference. It is an advocate for the differences that we have, for the uniqueness that we have, for the Spirit that is within us all. And we're getting to my favorite part, the divine spark. I haven't talked about the divine spark, but we're getting there. We're almost there. I have to interject one thing, though, before we get there. And it's really important, especially for the Sacred Commons as a convergent community. Sorry, I stutter on my C's. As a convergent community, that we recognize that as we come from these different traditions, and I have a slide from Phyllis Tickle, and I don't have this written in my notes, so I probably can't read it from this angle, but you can read it there, and those online can also read it as well. Hopefully they can see it too on their screen at home. But what she is saying here is that as we come from these other traditions, it's really important that we allow each other to keep part of those traditions that we come from. Because it's not about preserving a specific institution, but it's about preserving the tradition that those institutions uphold. Because those are the native languages that we have.
Yeah.
And it's very important that we recognize the Spirit in each one of us from our unique backgrounds and our unique places and our unique journey that we're on right now and whatever way that goes as we ripple out together. So I just wanted to add that in here so that we can just be mindful as we're thinking about these things, what it means as we come together and as we go out together, and as we live in community together, and as we worship together, and as we hold all of our uniqueness, and we recognize the Spirit in each other. How we live as a church community and how we are called, we must honor the individual manifestation of the Spirit within each person. And now we're to my favorite part, and I'm coming to my close here. So Barbara Holmes, she spoke on the work of the people, which we've shown their videos and prayers in our live stream many times, but there was a segment that she had, and it was called Release the Fire. And she talks about how in the upper room, when the disciples, when they were in the upper room, now when we say disciples, there is a bit of confliction here. I don't think it was just the 11 plus the 12. There were more than just that there. Mary was there. There were people in the upper room that had come together. But when the Spirit came, she talks about, and I think this is on the next slide, she talks about, I don't know if you've heard the quote from Jeremiah 29, the idea of fire shut up in our bones. The idea of fire shut up in our bones. So when they were in the upper room and the Spirit came and they had that fire in their bones, it was like there was a spark, a divine spark that happened in them. And she gives this idea that there's a divine spark in all of us, in everyone. There's a fire and a passion and a gift. And there's a gift that brings joy when we give it. And this divine spark is for everyone. It's always there. And she said, it's not always at a high level. Sometimes you have to turn toward it and actually accept it, because it's the gift that we're given. She also says you can cover up the divine spark, right? You can hide it under a bushel, right? And even in suffering, she says, sometimes that divine spark can grow dim. But we must know that it's there, the divine spark. And she says, you can say, I am willing to be set completely on fire for your sake, Lord. And I will take the gift I've been given, and I will set it on fire and go into the world. So what is your divine spark? This is what I want to challenge us with today. What is your divine spark? What is that special gift that you've been given? How can you share that with the world? I think sometimes it's hard for me specifically. I've never felt like an extremely talented person in any one particular area. I remember in high school we had to do these like job assessment tests, and I can't remember what mine was, but I remember my sister's, and hers was forest ranger, and I always thought that was hilarious. Like, I just, it didn't make any sense whatsoever. So those tests never really helped me out. I found out in film school that I'm really good at making peanut butter and jellies, and people really like my sandwiches. I'm like, I don't know, Lord. I don't know what my spark is. I just kind of feel like I just do everything, and I spin a lot of plates. I don't know. Maybe I should have been in the circus. I don't know. But I want to encourage us today that maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, and you know the divine spark that the Spirit of God has put in you, that you should be sharing that with the world, or that there's a specific way that you share that with the world. But if you don't know what that is, I want to focus our attention on the fruit of the Spirit, because I think that this is a good place to start in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I promise if this is a focus of your life, if you focus on these things, there are so many of them, even if you just pick one, the Spirit will begin to spark within you in that area. I know one of the things that we could focus on here is kindness or patience or goodness. I mean, there's so much here. So my prayer for the Sacred Commons, and I'm wrapping it up, is that we would be a community that honors the individual divine spark in each one of us. That we will allow the Spirit to blow the fire of love within us as a community and as individuals, and that we would be like ripples going out on the water, that we would share that spark, that divine spark, with the world around us, that we would not only do that, but that we would be stretched and challenged as we learn to speak the language of those on the margins and not in the center. That we would enter into the season of ordinary time this year, that we would be guided by the companionship and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is for us all, the Spirit is in us all, and the Spirit works through us all. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sacred Commons podcast. For service times, videos, and more information about the life of our community, visit thesacredcommons.com.